I avoided calling him when the Chris Antonetti was named Executive of the Year. I didn't call him when Tito Francona was named American League Manager of the Year. But getting the news that Gaylord Perry passed away, Bobby, you're the first person I thought of giving a call to. Now, you started with the Indians, what, probably just after the time when Gaylord Perry was there? When would your timeline fit in with that?
Yeah, I started 1979, so I was not with the organization when he was with us winning a Cy Young Award in 1972. I was a high school guy and always made sure that, you know, everybody, I think, in Cleveland that was a baseball fan at that time knew when Gaylord was going to pitch at home and they had to go see that. What a season. Again, winning the Cy Young Award. The most remarkable thing about that, as I got to become really good friends with Gaylord Perry, he always talked about in a 22-year career that 1972 in Cleveland, he thought was his finest season ever. Only year that he had an ERA under 2, it was 1.92, led the league with 24 wins, had 16 losses. So that's 40 starts. So he had 41 appearances. In that one relief appearance, he got a save. So he always talks about that was a remarkable year because every game that he pitched, he got a decision, which is so rare in the game of baseball. And again, our first Cy Young Award winner and just a remarkable guy. Mean as a hornet when he was on the mound, but a fun storytelling guy that I'm just honored that I could call him a friend.
And Bob, in that magical season, didn't he have nearly 30 complete games? It was something off the charts that pitchers nowadays don't do.
Yeah, 29. He had 29 complete games that year out of his 40 starts. And this year alone, there were only 35 in the entire Major League Baseball.
How much of that particular time was the spitball and or his antics kind of a part of what he had here, or did that develop, is that a reputation that came with him, or did that develop a little later for him?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the funny things, I don't know if you guys remember, but on the east side of Cleveland, there was a hardware store called Gaylord's. And they made their own Vaseline. He did commercials for Gaylord's Vaseline for the hardware store. There was a story. Do we have a minute? I'll tell you a real quick story that one of the funnest things I was ever a part of. Ray Fossey was part of when we had Sports Time Ohio, I did those alumni roundtable TV shows. And one of them was with Ray Fossey and Mike Keegan and Rich Rollins, Gary Roggenberg. And so I asked each of them what was the most interesting thing that happened on the mound, a conversation on the mound. Ray Fossey told us the story that they were shooting a commercial. They even got the major league ump, Bill Haller, on an off day, come down to Cleveland Stadium, Ray Fossey behind the plate, Gaylord on the mound, an official major league ump, and they walk to the mound and do a commercial for Gaylord's Vaseline for Gaylord's hardware store. The next night, Bill Haller's behind the plate. Gaylord Perry is pitching. Ray, of course, is behind the plate. And the opposing manager, who I'm drawing a blank, unfortunately, is screaming from the first pitch to have Haller go out and check him. So finally, like in the third inning, the opposing manager just walks out on the field. Doesn't call time. Nothing. He just walks out and beelines for Gaylord. And now all of a sudden, you got Ray Fossey, Bill Haller, Gaylord Perry on the mound, and they go into script. Ray Fossey said, "We ended up reciting the script to the advertisement." And the opposing manager saying, "What the hell is going on out here? What are you guys?" And Haller just said, "Get back in the dugout." And Race Fossey said it was one of the funniest things he'd ever experienced on a baseball field.
Oh, that is hilarious. That is great, too. And, of course, there's notes up here about how Gaylord had sort of had this pre-pitch routine, the cap, the face, the glove, the belt, all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes you don't have to do anything. You just could do that to sort of intimidate a hitter, right?
That's what he said. You know, he said, it's for me to know and for you to worry about.
Wow.
That was his line for anybody. And there were times he said for certain hitters that he knew and were friends that he'd go up to watch batting practice on the day that he was pitching. He'd watch the opposing team batting practice and he'd have Vaseline on his right hand and he'd go and shake hands with a couple of the hitters on the other just to put it in their brain. But Rick Manning would tell you that if an infielder made an error behind him, oh, he was as mean as a hornet.
Wow. Well, Gaylord Perry, again, we get the word that he had passed away 84 years old in South Carolina. Another reason why I wanted to have you on, Bob, is because of the War on the Diamond, this new documentary that's coming out or has been out and is streaming at different places. The guy who made a Believe Land has put this together, dealing with Ray Chapman, and you have a little role in that. Talk a little bit about how that came about or what you know about that documentary.
Yeah, Andy Billman came into my office and said that he, you know, is going to work on this film that there had been for many years based on the book The Pitch That Killed by Mike Soule, the professor at Nebraska, wrote the book The Pitch That Killed, which chronicles the lives of Carl Mays, the pitcher, and Ray Chapman, of course, and intersects their lives on the day that Ray Chapman is beamed and killed on the field of play, still the only player in the history of baseball to be killed on the field of play. And Andy said, that's going to be the premise of the film, but I'm going to do something larger and try to get a sense of the Cleveland-New York baseball rivalry as it intertwines. And maybe that beaming is what ignited the rivalry. And so I helped him, as did Jeremy Fedor in our office, our historian. We put him in touch with, obviously, certain people and got certain artifacts and certain other things to help his production along. And it was really a fun project to be a part of. I think he did a really fun job. If people are interested in baseball, I think it's a terrific, like an hour and 10 minute little documentary film that I think people will really enjoy. And I play a little role in it just because of the Ray Chapman plaque. Because if you know your history of sports in America, 1920, you know, horse racing, boxing, and then baseball at the top of the list. So when he was killed on the field of play, I mean, it was stunned the entire country that a baseball player actually lost his life on the field of play. And so all these artists began to do these memorials to Ray Chapman. And the Cleveland front office was just inundated with all of these. So they decided to create a committee, and all of a sudden we couldn't find the one that hung on the walls at League Park forever. You know, as I mentioned in the film, old timers would come up to me and say, how come that plaque isn't, you know, on the wall at Cleveland Stadium? And I'd say, I don't know what you're talking about. I know the reference to it as I studied our history. But I had never seen it, didn't know what they were talking about. And finally, one day, we came upon it. And so that plays a role in the film.
Wow. Again, that's called War on the Diamond. It's just streaming out there. I know the Cleveland International Film Festival had places where you can also watch that as well. But well, we appreciate your time getting away from your basketball. Craig, where is it? I don't know about you, but I haven't... I mean, I appreciate you and keep well doing that stuff, but, like, is it your arms or legs? What gets...
I'm very lucky that at my age here, at 67, that I can still run up and down a basketball court. My back and my knees are fine. But you have to understand the kind of basketball we play. It's you're not allowed to play defense because at our age, all the guys that we play with, you know, golf and other things are more important, are playing with our grandchildren. So don't play defense because only idiots at our age, you'll get hurt playing defense at our age. And so what we talk about, Bruce, which is pretty funny, is there's only one statistic that matters in our morning hoops group, and that's field goals attempted. Fire it up as often as you can.
Sometimes that's all it takes. Just you realize how much your legs need to be a part of the whole process, right? You know, you can't just
exactly.
Otherwise,
yeah.
your
I'm very
arms.
Very fortunate. I got a great group of friends that we get together. We used to do it 5 days a week until COVID hit. Now we're back in the gym and get to play 3 days a week. So really a lot of fun.
Well, that's good. We're glad to, and we let you get back to your game and make sure you get some. You know, throw one up for us this morning.
You got it. I'll fire it from deep. No problem.
No problem. Thanks. Thank you very much, Bob. Thanks for your time.
Take care, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bob DiBiasio joining us this morning talking about passing of Gaylord Perry as well as the War on the Diamond documentary. It's always good to talk to Bobby D. And of course, you know, it's not going to be too far away. I know we're still in December, so the last month of the year is coming to an end. So our 2023 calendar is coming up, and pretty soon it's all going to be about the winter, getting ready for spring training coming up not too far ahead.